everyone, welcome back to Let's Talk Travel with the Pretty Wanderer, and I'm your host, Fatima Barnes. We have made it to the season finale, y'all. I just can't believe it. It has been an amazing time. I have had some wonderful guests and conversations. I have learned, you have learned, we all just learning all the way around. And so hopefully by now you're at the point where you're ready to go. I've eliminated all of your fears and now you're just inspired. And so hopefully here you're ready to get going and you've got your list and you're checking it twice, honey. So with that being said, what's your ultimate travel goals? Are you going to venture off the beaten path? We're going to talk about it this week on Let's Talk the Bucket List with a friend of mine from Walt Disney World, Lindsay D'Amate. So, I have a special message this season finale to my fellow wanderers. Y'all have made it this far in season 1, episode 10, and y'all don't understand. This journey has been an amazing one. I honestly couldn't predict the amount of support I received. I set out to find a platform in which I can educate, empower, and inspire those in my community to get out there and explore the world. And I'm truly thankful for all of the support that I've received. So whether you listen in week by week or you binge and catch up when you have time, I'm happy either way. So stay tuned because when season 2 comes, I promise you it is going to just get better. I mean, the plans that I have, y'all just don't understand. So it's only up from here. So I just had to make sure that I plugged that little tidbit in as I am wrapping up the season because it's very emotional for me. I finally stepped out and did something like this, and I wanted to find the perfect platform to do something like this. And if you know me, you know I tried YouTube. It didn't really work out for me, but I can say that podcasting has me and I am here to stay. So just be prepared because when season 2 comes out in 2021, you are going to be in for a treat. Now on to today's tips, or as I like to say, pulling from my luggage of tricks. This week for the finale, I'm going to do something a little different, right? I've talked about multiple ways that you can save time, money, maximize your trips, the whole nine throughout the season. And at this point, if you're here and you're still listening and you're still rocking and rolling, I actually want to give you homework. My tip is for you to make a plan because if you don't plan to put these things that you're learning into action, you're never going to do them. You're not going to step out and do it. And so I think it's important that now that you actually apply everything that we've been learning, right? So what I want you to do is close your eyes and think of where you want to go next. So don't do this if you're driving, because I have a lot of people that listen while they're driving. So don't do it while you're driving. But other than that, what I want you to do is think of all the places that you want to go. And understand that with everything that you've learned, all the tips that we've shared, all the fears that we've eliminated, understand that they're not unreachable. They are attainable. If I can do it and all of my guests can do it, you can do it. And so I want you to make a plan based off last week's episode. Where do you want to try to go for 2021? And what dates you want to try to go where you plan on going? And how can you budget that out? I'm going to need for you, my tip is for you to create a plan that will work for you. Create a bucket list, something that you can scratch off and keep you motivated of places that you want to go. Because if you don't do this and you don't get it on paper and you don't write it down, you're never going to make that leap. You're never going to make that jump. And so your homework or your assignment, so to speak, and honey, you got a while now because Corona is here. So this is the time to be planning. But this is the time that I want you to think long and hard. I want you to pull out your calendar for 2021. I want you to go and look at where all the holidays fall because we talked about utilizing those holidays during your vacation time. I want you to look at when the kids are out of school or when they are in school and maybe you want to get a babysitter because we talked about that in episode 2 with the moms. Like, think about where you want to go. Get that calendar out right now. Start looking at 2021. Make a note. Get a list. Where do you want to go? Feasibly, based off the plan and the rule that you learned on last week, Where can you go to some of those closer destinations that you want to go to, like your Jamaicas and your the Bahamas and your closer destinations that you can get to within 7-8 hours that you can do a long weekend? And then I want you to map out where you're going to try to go that's far away. And maybe you're not ready yet to completely do your Balis and Dubais and Hong Kongs and things like that. So maybe you're not there yet. But maybe if you're getting started or you want to expand, maybe that's what you do. But maybe if you're getting started, you go ahead and you look at where can you feasibly go. And maybe you do it once a quarter, right? Maybe you up it. You know, you haven't really been traveling much at all, but maybe you figure out a way that you can make it work 4 times next year. That's once a quarter. Am I right about that? Yeah. No, I'm wrong about that. So that's 3 times next year. Where can you feasibly go with the time that you have? Maybe you're not ready yet to use the full 2 weeks of vacation just yet on just traveling. Maybe you're like, I want to play it safe. So what about you use 1 week? And what about you plan it out? Or if you're the type of person who has one of those off schedules in the middle of the week, where are you going to use those 2 days plus your off days and plan it out? How are you going to do that? If you're off on a Tuesday, Wednesday, when are you going to plan your Monday off and do a Saturday, Sunday, you know, however, Sunday through whatever trip? How are you going to do this? Start strategizing now. So that is my biggest tip, is create that bucket list and actually make a plan for next year to put it into action. I know traveling is going to look very different next year, but countries are opening back up. They're opening back up. So I suggest you start to figure out where you're going to go, because I want you to make that leap. And then from there, in between the seasons in the interim, I want you to send me, as you go places, as you travel, I want to know. Send it to me. Email it to me. Tag me on Instagram. Let me know if you actually took my advice and you went somewhere that you've never been and you got your calendar, even if you're doing it now. Like, tag me in if you got a calendar that you're looking at and creating and you're ready to go. I want to see it, because I've been doing all of this for that very reason. And so that is my tip for this week. It's more like a tip/homework, but I know that it's a tip because I know that if you do this and you plan it out and it's on paper and it's written down and you can see it and it's in fruition, it's going to happen. And so that's why I want you to get on that. And like I said last week, not only that, now is the time to be booking. Now is the time to take advantage of the prices that you're probably going to see as people are going to try to encourage tourism. You know what I'm saying? Like, now is the time. Get you some travel insurance when you book it. But this is the time. Reach out to some travel agents. Whatever you got to do to make yourself finally make that leap, I need for you to do it. So I don't want to keep preaching, because I could talk about this all day, but I will leave you with that. So that is my tip. So we've got to take a quick break. When we come back, we are going to be talking to the amazing, well-traveled travel enthusiast, and to me, she's the ultimate bucket list checker, Lindsay Damate, y'all. I am so glad that she is here. So we're back and we are here today. We are going to be speaking with the amazing Lindsay, you guys. And so I am so glad that she's here. She is what I like to call the ultimate bucket list checker, a travel enthusiast. She's amazing, well-traveled, such a beautiful spirit. And she lives in a place that I feel is truly paradise, which probably explains her beautiful, calm, amazing spirit, because of the island that she resides from. And so I am here to introduce to you all today, Lindsay. How are you, girl?
Doing good. I mean, obviously it's changed a few of our travel plans, but you know, we're all safe and healthy and doing well. So we're just waiting for this to all be over so we can get back out there.
I know. It's definitely, it's driving me crazy, but I guess now I have no choice but to focus on other things that I've been putting off.
Same. All my house projects got done.
House projects.
Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
All the house projects and all of that, I have no choice but to do it. So I'm like, okay, but I definitely am ready to get back out there. I see some places are opening already. So I do know someone that is in Antigua now.
Oh, wow.
So, because they have no cases anymore, but you have to have a negative test to get in, and then they test you when you get there.
Sure.
So, yeah, I mean, they're probably a lot safer than we are here. But
that's true. I mean, we've got all these positive cases going up, so.
Yeah.
I don't know. They're doing something right, that's for sure. Or New Zealand. That'd be a good one to go to.
Oh, yes. I looked into Iceland. I don't think they're going to let us in, though. Mm. I don't think they're going to let us in.
It's okay. It's just really crazy. Save that for another day.
I know. It's on my list. It's on my list.
For sure.
So I'm glad that you're here today. For one, it's been so long since we've actually been able to talk outside of social media. So that's really nice.
Good to hear you.
Yeah, I know. For those that don't know, Lindsay and I actually worked at Disney World 11 years ago.
Oh, it's been that long.
I know. It's been that long. It was an internship. It was amazing. So it's almost like a little Disney college program reunion.
Yes.
Yes, I know. So I was just excited. And I've just loved watching you over the years and your journeys and seeing how you've grown. So I think it's just amazing.
Same.
Yes. So can you tell the listeners a little bit about yourself?
I mean, like you said, we met in Florida. Best time ever. I can't believe it's been that long. It feels, I talk about it like it was just a few years ago, but it's been so long.
It feels like it.
But born and raised in Hawaii, super blessed to be able to call that home. And I don't know that I'm super exciting. I think I like to do pretty typical things. You know, I enjoy getting outdoors and, you know, spending time just enjoying beautiful Hawaii. But I am married. I am a dog mom to three. And I think that explains a lot. But, you know, I'm either reading a book or I'm in my garden or I'm outdoors or cooking. So or of course, traveling. If not any of those things, then I'm out somewhere on an adventure seeing the world.
Yes, I love it.
Mm-hmm.
So with you being from Hawaii, like that, honestly, that's one of my favorite places in the whole world. Like, I don't like to vacation from there. Like, to be there during this time, you are so blessed, because that's one of the most beautiful places that I've ever been out of this whole world. And I love the people. I love the feel, the vibe. I just love it. What's it like living there? Like, actually living in a paradise that most people, we have to vacation to.
That's so true. We have like a saying here in Hawaii, lucky we live Hawaii. And I think it's just an understanding and an appreciation of the fact that, you know, your vacation is my home. You'll hear people say that quite often. But, you know, to everyone who lives there, it's your every day. So, you know, I think until you get outside of that normal for you, you realize how special it is. So it took me moving away or spending time off island to really understand how, you know, special Hawaii is. I think, you know, there's this understanding that there's a native Hawaiian culture, which is really deep and rich, which is, you know, truly unique. But you also get this melting pot sort of all these other cultures who over the years have either, you know, immigrated in and blended together to kind of create the Hawaiian culture that you see there now. So, you know, it is truly special. I definitely don't take it for granted, you know, but it's nice. You can see the mountains. You can see the oceans. The weather's beautiful all year round. There's just so much to do, especially if you love being outdoors. And the food is great. You can't go wrong.
The food. Listen, yeah. The food. Oh, my God. I love the food. Mm-hmm. That is probably one of my – I love the food. You're right. Mm-hmm. A lot of people – they sleep on how good the food is in Hawaii. I don't think that they think about when I go to Hawaii, like the food. I think they just think of Hawaii like this beautiful place. And then they get there and they realize how good the food is. But yeah. They definitely have some of my favorite food. I definitely love it. So Would you, so given that and being there, I'm definitely interested. I like to ask this question a lot to the people that I talk to or interview, just because I'm always interested in where that love kind of for travel began.
Sure.
And especially with you living in Hawaii, where did that love for travel sort of begin?
Yeah, I think it started when I was when I was young. I've always been kind of fascinated with history, in general. Like, I really loved that subject growing up, and I think my family really made it a point to educate my sister and my cousins and I on just different cultures and perspectives. So, that local culture that I sort of just talked about is really important here. You grow up in school learning about it, the importance of the islands, how to protect it, all of that good stuff. But then, there was also, I think, a little of pride in our heritage. So I'm Japanese and fourth generation, so pretty far removed from a lot of those traditions and things that, you would inherently learn about. So my family made it a point to really teach us about that, the traditions, the food, right? All of that stuff. So along with that came this idea, about learning about others, other cultures, seeing stories and seeing photos. My aunt is, everyone's got that one fun aunt. Single spoils all the kids, right? So she was a flight attendant. And so for her, she traveled all over the world. I don't know many places that she hasn't been to. But she would always come back with these amazing photos, right? These tulip fields in Europe and these great castles and pyramids in Egypt, like all of these photos that she would come back. So we would spend hours looking through pictures and telling stories about it. And so I think that's really where it came from. I was like, I want to see that, right? I want to go there. And so I think that's really where it came from. But I think it also, you have the ability to build empathy and I think just overall build the ability to connect with others. So that's where it kind of started. And I think it's just taken off since then.
That is such a beautiful story. I love to hear that. And you're right. We all have that one aunt that is the one that spoils us and is well traveled. And she's the one, yeah, she's the rock star of the family. So you are definitely right about that. That's a beautiful story to know that that's kind of what sparked your love for the for traveling and seeing the world. And that's so great that you actually had someone that could expose you to that as well. Because not everyone is so fortunate, and a lot of people have to kind of just learn later in life and what they see on Instagram and things like that. So it was great that you were able to have someone that kind of could spark that in you early, that to actually want to do it. Do you think that played a part in you going to Florida to work at Disney World, would you say?
Oh, absolutely. I think, there are several people, we weren't especially isolated, right? You're on an island thousands of miles away from everyone else. So, unlike when you live stateside, you can get in a car and drive somewhere. Like, you have to fly to get anywhere. And so I think, being able to get familiar with this idea of getting off and experiencing outside of what I'm used to. I mean, you know how that experience went, right? You interviewed months later, like months later, you get a thing saying, "Hey, you got it. Do you want to come? You have a week to say yes or no." And so I was like, "Okay, I'm going." And it was pretty spontaneous. You pack everything up and you head out. And I think I landed in the airport in Florida. I was like, "Oh my gosh, what am I doing?" But it was the sense of, stepping outside of your comfort zone, and experiencing something super different. Plus, it was probably the furthest away from Hawaii I could get, where it was still going to be warm. So I said yes.
Good
I
point.
said
Good point.
yes.
Good point. You're right. It actually was pretty like they for us, they came to the school, they recruited about the program, and then it was like a matter of like, we're going to be doing these interviews, and before you know it, it's like, okay, you're good to go. And if you say yes, then you're going to start this
It
next
moved
semester.
fast.
Yes, it was very fast. So yeah, I definitely it was like this thing, but that's a I that's a great thing. So speaking of like Instagram type destinations, I love that you sort of travel, you travel a lot, you travel to some beautiful places, but I love that you also kind of are not afraid to travel off the beaten path of those popular IG places, you know? So how do you decide where you want to go for your trips? Like, is there you have this list, or you just kind of go and play it by ear?
Well, I wish I could say it was like some well planned out, well thought out plan, but I think a lot of it is sort we play it by ear. My husband and I both really love to travel, so I'm super fortunate that, he's interested and, excited about that. It makes planning and being able to do these kinds of things really easy when you have someone who's just as enthusiastic about it as you. And so I think our destinations have sort of just been the stars aligning. It's a mix of like top spots that we absolutely want to go to, places we've dreamed about. But it's also been about timing. Mm-hmm. It's been about timing and things just sort of working out. And a lot of times, these aren't necessarily trips that we've planned out years in advance. It's like, we think the stars were aligning, right? Like things are working out. This is our chance to go. Let's seize that opportunity. So I think that's really how, most of our trips have come about. But we've put together, of course, our, travel bucket list. And I think my ultimate goal is to be able to eat my way around the world. So, food is, I think, the easiest way to experience a different culture, right? You get to interact with the locals. You learn about, how they cook, where it comes from, what it means to them. So two of my favorite things together, traveling and eating, it's not a bad combination, but typically, it's a mix of just the right time, right place, the right opportunity, and just saying yes to it.
Yes, I love that. That is so true. A lot of people always kind of ask me as well, like, how do you just know where you're going? I'm like, I don't know. I just say I want to go there. And you're right. I don't really plan years and years out in advance. Either. It's just what works at the time. Where do I want to go? How does it play out? So I think it's interesting when I hear other people that have that same kind of perspective on it. And because a lot of people really do assume that when you travel a lot, you're like, you over plan it. And I am a planner, but I don't over plan like that. It's just kind of, I know I want to go somewhere. It's just where and when. So
absolutely.
Yes, the same concept. So what are the top five places on your bucket list? Like that's unplanned at this point as of right now. Like you don't have anything booked for it. What are those top five places for you?
Well, I think for us, we've slowly started making progress in hitting off all the continents. And so my outstanding one right now that I've been super excited about is Africa. For me, my ultimate would be to do a trip into Egypt and to Jordan, the pyramids, again, that history, right? Growing up loving history, I've always been super fascinated by ancient Egyptian culture. And so I would love to see the pyramids, right? The Sphinx, all of these, the Nile, like all these really important historical locations. And of course, Petra, like how can you not want to see that? But I think I would probably want to go a little bit further down, maybe check out Tanzania, do a Serengeti safari, because you can't get anything better than that. Or maybe even Zimbabwe, Victoria Falls looks beautiful. I would love to be able to experience that too. So Africa for sure. Then I still haven't gone to Australia yet. To be honest, I think a lot of the places my husband and I choose right now also has to do with like physically demanding locations, right? And so I'm like, oh, I could do Australia a little bit later,
right?
So it's on my list for sure. Not just the normal places like Victoria and New South Wales, but Uluru sounds really cool. That red sand desert, it just looks unique. So I would love to experience that. And then you talked a little about Iceland, but I think Scandinavia, all the way up there. Norway, Sweden, Iceland, Switzerland, like that to me would be a really cool trip. Something definitely different than what I'm used to.
Yes, girl, that's like the perfect ultimate bucket list. And then you have, like I said, I love that you have those places that are sort of off the beaten path, or that people don't really like, oh, I want to go to Scandinavia. Like, they just don't talk about it. But I love that you just really want. That's how you know you're like the ultimate, like you really are just a real traveler, and you really embrace the process of it when you're just wanting to just explore regardless. Like it doesn't have to be Instagram popular for you to want to go. Right. So I do love that. Were you going to say something? I'm sorry.
No. I was just going to say, I think it's interesting. There's, you read an article, you see a photo, you hear someone else's story, and there's something about it that connects with you. So it's not necessarily, everyone else's most popular location to go to. I think growing up in Hawaii, especially like Tahiti, Bora Bora, these beautiful islands, I would like to get there one day. But, for me, I would think a cave in the middle of Cambodia is way more exciting. Call me crazy, but I think, that's kind of just how we flow. It's where can we go? What's different? You know, what's going to push us outside of our comfort zones? And that's sort of how we pick where we go.
Yes, I love it. You're inspiring me as we speak too, because I'm like, I never thought about Scandinavia.
Well, I look at your pictures of Dubai and I'm like, that's on my list.
I know, we both look at each other then and like, that's on my list, that's on my list. And that's the goal, is to just keep each other inspired in the travel community. When you're in the travel community and it's something that you love, you want to keep each other inspired, and you want to, you know, like, because speaking of, like, that's actually next what I was going to talk about. When I saw that you went to Antarctica, I'm obsessed with getting there. Yes. Because like you, I want to eventually get to all seven continents. And I really, 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 really want to go to Antarctica. Mm-hmm. And that is a place that's truly on my bucket list and one of those truly off the beaten path kind of places. Sure. And I was obsessed with your stories, and it was quite the adventure when I just was seeing it. I was just living through you, right? So tell me about that. How did you kind of set that up? Like, I want to hear the deets, because most people just don't think about, like, I'm going to Antarctica. So how did that come about?
Yeah, I mean, that was kind of one of those serendipitous moments. Like I said, I think we've always, you know, you think Antarctica is like this completely untouchable, unreachable place. Mm-hmm. But, you know, growing up, National Geographic is probably the first magazine I ever had a subscription to. But, you know, you read all these things, you know, these articles, you learn about it. And I think it kind of just came to be. Like, my husband and I always joked about, all right, we're going to make it to Antarctica one day. We need to do it while we're still physically fit before climate change, you know, changes it too much and, you know, we can't get there. But it also just seems really unobtainable. It's far away. You have to go during our winter, which is their summertime. It's a really small window where it's safe to go, where, you know, ice breaking boats can penetrate those ice fields. And I have been in retail for the longest time, and you know, everyone knows you don't travel during the holiday season, so it kind of just worked. I decided to step back from my career in retail. We had our first holiday season that we were really able to, you know, spend time with family and do things that we haven't been able to do, and so we're like, if we're gonna do this, we're gonna go big. And so we booked our trip literally 2 months out, which I will say is a little short when you're trying to plan a trip like that. Right. On that scale. But again, go with the flow.
Right.
And, you know, we've always sort of thought about, if we did, what would we want to do? How would we want to get there? And there are several companies that do expeditions or, you know, trips down there right now. But for me, it was kind of, this is the top of our list, right? Like the pinnacle. Right. If you're going to splurge, you're going to invest in this experience. And so it was a no-brainer for us. We took our expedition with National Geographic and Lindblad. Wow. And we had the opportunity to sail on the National Geographic Explorer, which is a historic and renowned, you know, ice-breaking ship. And, you know, for me, it was, let's do it, right? It was a little bit more, right, but let's go for it. And it kind of just went from there. So we flew into Buenos Aires. We took a little chartered flight down with our crew to Ushuaia, boarded our ship, and spent 2 weeks out there. And even better, we spent Christmas in Antarctica, and it snowed that day. We saw amazing wildlife. Like, it was just such a magical experience for us. Mm-hmm. And it was amazing. It's hard to put into words. And even the photos, like, looking back at my pictures, I don't think it does it justice. Like, you have to be like there and experience it. Yeah, it's one of those things, you really just have to be there. And you are so remote that you get to disconnect, right? You get to just be truly present. And I think the other thing that I liked was, you're on an expedition style trip. So you sort of have an itinerary of, you know, places that you might go, but nothing is guaranteed, right? Mm-hmm. It's based on the wildlife. It's based on the weather, where the boat can get to, what you can see and do. And so you're left, you trust the staff to take you, trust the captain, right, to get you there safely, because you go through the Drake Passage, and that is an experience in itself. but like, we saw all the penguins. We got super lucky. We even saw the emperor penguin, which is really, really rare, because you only kind of you only go to the tip of the peninsula. But, you know, you're looking at beautiful glaciers, We saw type A orcas, which are the biggest. We saw a bunch of
Wow.
seals. Like, you got to see baby penguins, like everything that you see on TV. It felt like you were in an extended episode of National Geographic Explorer, and it was
Wow.
amazing. Like, I cannot tell you enough. You need to get there. It is beautiful.
It is definitely on my list, and I am going to get there. I am going to get
Yes.
there. And hearing you actually explain it outside of me just even seeing it on your stories, it's even more of like a, okay, I gotta go. I gotta go because it sounds like it's a once in a lifetime kind of trip. And it sounds like it's something that you just need to do. Like you just have to do it. And if it's not on your bucket list, you need to put it there. That's just
Absolutely.
exactly. I love that. And then I love when you go places where you kind of have to disconnect. Like it really forces you to really, like you said, be present and take it all in, especially because to be able to travel the world, let's just be honest, it's an honor and a privilege. And it's
Absolutely.
something to be grateful about because not everyone can do it. If everyone could do it, everyone would do it. And, you know, we want people to do it more because we want them to see that there's such a big world out there. Like, let's explore. Like, you don't have to be just confined to one place. And so I just think that it's really just amazing to hear from people like yourself who actually just do it. You're doing it and you put the action behind it, you make it a priority, and you just go see the world and you get into it. You actually get in tune with the environment that you're in. And that's what it's all about. So I really love hearing about that. So when it's my time, I'm definitely going to be reaching out to you
Yes. You
because
know,
I'm
I
going to
think,
need help planning.
yeah, I think it should be on everyone's list at some point. You know, not, I realize not everyone's going to be able to get down there, but just to, put yourself out there to go someplace that is just so different from what you're used to. I think there's just such magic in it. And even it doesn't have to be some crazy, Antarctica trip to give you that experience. You know, it could be a different state. You can get in your car and drive somewhere, but choosing to be somewhere that, is different, is a new experience for you. That's what it's about. It's really about that experience.
Because it's really sad that the average American doesn't even have a passport. And so that's really
Breaks my heart.
unfortunate. I know when you're a real traveler, it makes your heart just like, why? Like, it's really unfortunate. And that's a part of why I did the giveaway at the beginning of the season for to purchase someone a passport,
That's
because
phenomenal.
I really just feel like more and more people should have one. I think it should be, because when you go to other places, most people there, they have a passport. And so I really don't think people understand the privilege that we have. And like, maybe now after Corona, people will start to realize, like, okay, I really need to get out there and see the world. Because at least for us, I can say, if they don't open for 2, 3 years, like, okay, I've been enough places, even though I wouldn't want to, but I've seen a lot of the world that I don't have any regrets. But there are a lot of people that are out there that are like, I really wish that I would have traveled more, and now you can't really even apply for your passport. So that's one of those things. And so I really hope that pretty soon, things, will start to change, but it's just the way it's looking. But I want people to actually hear what you're saying about just getting out there and seeing somewhere different. And that's a part of like the whole point of this entire platform is just encouraging that. So I definitely am that. So what are some travel plans that you have after the pandemic is over? Have you thought about it? And did you
Of
have to cancel
course.
any trips?
Yes and yes, we're always thinking and looking at, what's next. Shifting gears, obviously. We did get derailed in a few plans. In March, we had a family trip with my husband's side of the family. It was just a really nice, relaxing Caribbean cruise, but we were going to go out to Puerto Rico, spend some time in Haiti, and just kind of relax. And so that was right when the coronavirus started to really take a, the first big bump that we were seeing. And so, of course, that got canceled. And it was kind of right on the cusp of it. Like, they weren't quite canceling every cruise yet, but there were definitely several that were, being held. So we just decided, okay, we don't have to go right now. We'll, you know, take a rain check. But the trip that really kind of hurts my heart is actually one that I was supposed to be leaving for in about 2 weeks from today, actually. We had a big trip planned that was going to take us back to Europe in the Mediterranean. So we were going to spend some time in Venice and Italy, just kind of explore that area. And then we were going to do a quick little cruise that would take us through Greece. And we had some plans to spend some time in Croatia and Turkey. So, you know, a mix of like these really popular locations, but also, like you said, some of those off the beaten path locations. I was really excited about Croatia. But we'll get there. We'll get there eventually.
Yeah, we'll get there. Just, we just got to push everything out because I know I was hurt. I was hurt too about some of my trips. I don't know, you know, our big trip to Africa, to Tanzania, Ethiopia, and Kenya is scheduled still for like the end of September. And I don't know, like I'm hoping that it still works out by then, but we really don't know. So I'm trying to prepare myself to just say, okay, but I have definitely had to cancel quite a few trips I was supposed to do this year as well. And it's like, ugh. Really?
Yeah.
Like all the 1 year, and this was supposed to be the year of solo travel for me too, where I wanted to actually try solo traveling and really experiencing that, and that was canceled as well. So I know you have plans. You're probably going to just push all of that into whenever, you know, like the next year, right?
Yeah. I think like you said, you know, I think I'm content. I'm lucky. I started off the year with a bang, right? So we did Antarctica for Christmas. We spent New Year's in Patagonia, which was a whole nother adventure. I feel like we did two really unique back-to-back trips sort of together there. And then right after that, in the middle, late January, I was in Mexico. A friend's wedding brought me down to Mexico. So I feel like I sort of got some early on, you know, it's going to tide me over. It's going to tide me over for now. But, you know, for now, I think there's beauty in what's around you. You know, I think there's a lot of places locally that I haven't necessarily spent a lot of time, you know, going or doing because we've been looking abroad or been looking overseas. So really just getting to appreciate what we have nearby and, you know, reconnecting with those things. So it's been sort of a blessing in disguise. And then to your point earlier, it just makes me feel so much more grateful for the experience that we have had and the fact that we, you know, that we can be upset about canceling a trip. Like we have this great opportunity to go to these places and do these things. So that in itself is just something to be grateful for.
Right, right. You're exactly right. I mean, we're just grateful. So overall, what's some words of advice that you would have to my listeners that are, you know, needing to, you know, start checking off their bucket list? What's some advice you would give to, say, the new traveler who is going to prepare or is now inspired, especially after hearing from you, inspired to get out there once this is over? What would you say?
You know, I think even when I started, the kind of biggest hurdle, it sounds simple, but it's just doing it. You know, you're never going to feel like you have the time or the money, right? That you can comfortably just do all these great adventures. And that's probably the number one thing I hear from people who see my, you know, my photos or my travel, and they're like, gosh, Lindsay, you're always traveling. You must be so rich, right? Like, do you work? How do you do that? And I was like, look, I work. I'm not rich. Right. Like, please no, like that is not, not me, but there's a way to make it happen when you make it a priority, right? You learn to, it's a conscious effort to save, to plan. There, you know, there's research that goes into places you want to go, things that you want to do and experience that you can take advantage of the time that you have there. And, you know, you want to enjoy traveling the most. But the other thing I would say is, so you make a commitment to get out there. But the second part is be flexible. Learning to let go has really changed my travel experience. I would say early on, I was that, here's your itinerary, here's where we're going to go, when we need to be there, right? Because you want to do all these things. But you focus on the destination and not the journey. And as I have learned to be more flexible with, you know, where we go, when we get there, how we do things, it's really allowed me to enjoy and some of my favorite memories, I want to say, are like getting to the places that we want to go. So that has been probably the other big changer for me. It's number one, make it a priority. Everyone can do it. The second one is do your research, have a plan, but also just be flexible.
Right. Such beautiful advice. And I love that you say the same thing that I always say. And I'm so glad that they hear it from someone else. Make it a priority. If it's a
Yes.
priority, you will do it. Anything that's a priority to you will make it happen.
Yeah.
So I love that they get to hear that from someone else beside me, besides
Right?
me. So
I'm a coffee fiend, and so you think about how much money you can save by not getting your latte every day, and you put that in a little jar and don't even look at it, and you continue to do it before you know it, right? You've got all this money that you didn't think you had. And all of a sudden that's, your experience. That's your, that's an adventure. That's an expedition or a cruise or a trip that you're going on that you were previously saying you couldn't do before. So it really is a balance of just willpower and prioritization, but everyone can do it.
And for me, for sure, when I cutting out before Corona, like the eating out all the time and just, because sometimes, especially for me, I'm a brunch person. I love brunch. I love brunch with the girls. I love brunch. But even for me, sometimes it was okay, maybe not have brunch every Sunday because before you know it, you've spent $70 because you get your food and you're drinking all these mimosas and you're doing all this stuff. And before you know it, that's money that $70 is literally an excursion or a night somewhere, a
That's a
stay
train
somewhere,
ticket.
or trying to exactly like it's so much that you can do. So, like you said, if you just say, like, maybe for now, I don't get a latte every day, or I limit when I do it, like, so you don't have to completely deprive yourself, but just making it a priority and saying, okay, I can still do, but maybe not as much, but keeping this in mind that I have a goal that I want to see the world. So, I'm glad that they heard it from someone else besides me, girl, because when I try to tell people that, they say the same thing to me too, like, you must be rich, or you must be, and it's like, no, I'm not rich, but everybody can do it, and that's the goal. And so that's why I actually started the podcast as well. So there is a section of the show called Travel Tea where I usually talk about a kind of a hot topic or a topic that is usually discussed in the travel community, and we just kind of give our thoughts on it. And this one is called Off the Beaten Path, Tourist Attractions or Both. Is there really a right or wrong way to do it? Obviously, I'm a mixture of both. I like to do some things off the beaten path. Even when I am at a popular destination, I still like to kind of do something off the beaten path for that particular place, and talk to the locals and do things like that. I'm not a big, I want to go and just shop all day or something like that. In fact, I rarely shop unless I'm buying things that I can't get anywhere else but there. And that's usually like at a local market or whatever the case may be. But I'm a mixture of both. I have different things that's on my bucket list that are just hot places. And then I have things that are not as common. Like I definitely have been wanting to go to Turkey for a long time. So for me, I'm a mixture of both, but I know that there are some thoughts around the travel community that I see in different commentary surrounding that, where people kind of shame people for their preference because there are certain people that they're like, no, I just want to go here because that's the hot place to be, and I'm not going off the beaten path. I want to shop at this, and I only want to eat this, and that's their choice. So, what are your thoughts on people shaming others for doing it? And obviously, what's your preference for that aspect of it?
I would say I'm a balance of both, right? Obviously, these tourist locations are popular for a reason. And there's value to seeing them. A lot of times they're historically significant, right? There's something important and special about these locations. But I think similar to you, I try to avoid these sort of tourist spots or tourist trap areas where the experiences seem to be kind of I want to say fake, but they are definitely, fabricated for tourists, where it feels over and above, just not genuine. And so I like to be able to, I mean, I'm not going to go to Paris and not see the Eiffel Tower, right? You're going to see it. You want to do it, but you do it unique and in your own way. But I think there's always going to be a balance of the two, but also you want to be comfortable, right? Like you and I have been traveling, and so going to, someplace that maybe isn't well marketed and tourist buses aren't going to, we might feel more comfortable with it than someone who is new to traveling, where for them it's, I want to book a preset tour, right? Where I don't have to worry about anything, get on the bus, get off the bus. And that's fine, right? I think it's do you, do what you're comfortable with, as long as you're having a great experience. But as far as shaming, I think kind of goes with what I just said, like everyone has their own preference with what they're comfortable with. The fact that they're out there and experiencing it should be exciting on its own. I don't think there should be shame on what, people can afford to do, what people feel comfortable on doing. You don't know what it means to, for them, right? That experience may mean something different for them than it does for you. And I think there's, obviously people feel very passionate about what they love, but there, I don't think there's shaming. The shaming should happen. I think there is, value in each person's individual experience. But if you ask me, I say figure out a way to interact with the locals. Be curious about them, be curious about their cultures. And that's really, the best way to get the best of both worlds. Like I like to ask people where the best places, their favorite places to eat are. Not necessarily the most popular Yelp reviewed, travel advisor reviewed locations, but you get to connect with someone and say, hey, what is your favorite place to eat? Small little place that you take your family to go to. And once you build that connection, they give you all the tea on the best places to go, right? And those have been some of my favorite experiences. But it also takes a certain level of comfort to get there.
You're exactly right. You said it. Everything to a T, kind of my exact feelings about it, especially as it pertains to like the shaming. Like everyone is not a expert, globetrotter, right? And everyone is not may not be comfortable, especially when there are new people. People are kind of new to traveling, and maybe they're just now building that level of even going. So, like you, I think the fact that they decided to leave their own backyard should be a big thing. And maybe you never know. They may eventually start to, the more they travel, start to branch off and do things a little bit more. But like you said, you've got to let people do what makes them comfortable and do them, because at the end of the day, who am I to tell you what you should be doing or should not be doing? I know how I what I like to do, and I love what you said about asking the locals about like what's their favorite place and what's their, because that is always, like you said, the best times, like always, like the best thing. I know even for me, when I went to Puerto Rico, and this just kind of stood out, but I went to Puerto Rico and we went to this place that wasn't like the touristy beach area. And it was like you could tell it was just for the locals typically. Like you could tell they weren't used to tourists being there. But we had the best time, and I had the best pina coladas in my life. And they were having like this party like on the beach, because like I said, it looks like that's where the locals go and just kind of spend time with their family. And they like were talking to us, invited us over there to talk to them and party, and we learned from them. And then we learned about a lot of the things that's not necessarily touristy, like going to La Placita, I believe it was, is like this place in Puerto Rico where the locals typically go and like salsa dance and have a good time. And we went there. I'm so glad that we did. And it wasn't like completely like a tourist place, but we just had the best time like ever. Like I had so much fun and I danced all night, and it was just so worth it to really just do it. And like you said, they will give you all the tea and they will tell you all the good places that's not like touristy popular places. That usually has the best food, like the best food. And we did the same thing there. And so that's one, just one example of why it's so much, it's worth it to just ask someone that's local and get curious about them and what they do and really get the full experience of where you're at. And so I love that you brought that up.
Yeah, I think traveling really teaches you humility, right? You have to go into that. It can be kind of intimidating, especially if you're in a place that, you don't know their language well. It can be intimidating, but they can tell when you are genuinely curious and, open-minded and just, respectful. And that's where they really truly embrace you and say, okay, let me show you, you know, my version of Italy, my version of wherever you are. It's very, very different. You know, I think on the flip side, when you go to some of these really popular tourist, you know, locations, you get a mix of kind of different travel types. And what kind of makes me sad, I think gives people who travel a lot a bad name is, you know, those who are going in with a really entitled approach to it. Like, I own this place, I should be at the front, you know, and they're focused on more of like, I need that ultimate photo that says I was here. And they don't take the time to, you know, read about the place, listen to the tour guides, learn about it. They're like, okay, I was there, check. Right. But then you ask them about that place and they can't tell you anything about it. You know, that kind of hurts my heart a little because it's very opposite of what I stand for or why I travel. So I would say, yes, get out there, interact with the locals, but be genuinely curious, go into it with an open mind. Kind of what I said earlier, it teaches you empathy. It teaches you to put yourself in someone else's shoes and see the world from a different perspective. I think, especially with this global climate, it is so important to have that skill set, right? To be able to understand difficulties and challenges that others might be going through or experiencing. And I think traveling has absolutely played a role in, you know, just my own personal growth and how I am able to help support others in my community. And so I would encourage anyone who gets the chance to go out to really approach it from that direction.
You are so right. And I always say that I believe that if a lot more people traveled and really got into it, and I honestly am the same way, it does hurt my heart. And I actually can't stand it. I'll be honest. I can't stand it. When you go somewhere and they're just, like you said, they're kind of just like, check. They're not listening. They're just like, I already got my picture and that's that. And I feel like, yes, we get great pictures, but that is secondary to our experience. Like the great photos will come, but the adventure behind it and the experience behind it is much more important to me. So when you see my pictures, yes, you see some great shots sometimes, you know, sometimes, but you see like, you know, you see that part of it, but I didn't just take that photo there just to take it. Like I actually had a real experience there. It's a lot more behind just the photo. And I have definitely actually recently, right before the pandemic, really, I was very fortunate that I was able to squeeze in a trip right before everything started getting crazy. We went to St. Thomas and St. John. It was just like one of those quick, like, let's just go somewhere. And it was my husband's birthday. And we were just like, we didn't really have a real plan. We were just like, we're going to go to what's open. Thankfully I have standby benefits, so we just kind of was just planning by ear, like wherever we land, that's where we're gonna go. So it was a great experience. I love being able to have that, you know, those spontaneous trips too, and those are usually the best. But we went to St. Thomas and then we went into St. John, and I was really saddened by the amount of entitlement that I saw by some of the actual locals. Were amazing. Like I stayed up talking to them all night at the bar, learning from them. And being that we a lot of their heritage is also African heritage, you know, they were a part of the transatlantic slave trade, you know, as well. They were talking to us and they were telling us about, I love that story, just talking to them. And she was like, you're still like my family too, you know, even though we come from different places. So hearing their perspective as well on seeing how it's different, but also like, she was just like, you know, basically I'm your auntie, and just said, she was telling us about like the legend that they have about the hurricanes. You know, if you look at the locations that the hurricanes hit, like they start from that area, they start from Africa and they start to build up, and it goes right through the same slave trade area.
Oh wow.
And she was like, if you think about it, where do all the hurricanes really hit? And I was like, that is so true. Like it goes down and then it comes up through the Caribbean and it goes through the southern states of the US and down. And I was just like, that is so interesting. Like but they have the legend about it and they actually talk about it. So it was just so cool to really talk to them as well and just sit up all night. And I really enjoyed it. But what made me sad was talking to these amazing, beautiful people. But to see how some of the tourists treated them there, because St. John is very exclusive. It's priced extremely high for,
Resorts for sure.
yes, exactly. And so they price it the way they price it and all of that. And it's very kind of one of those exclusive places. And the tourists there, I was just like really annoyed. And I remember one of them even saying, like, they're doing it the wrong way. Why are they driving on this side of the road if it's the US Virgin Islands and just crazy stuff? And I'm like, well, who's to say that they're wrong? Like, it's different, but that doesn't make it wrong. Like, why do you have this mindset that because they do something different, then it's wrong? Or because it's this, and it's like you're vacationing for the wrong reason. Like, for me, that's annoying. Like, you should be here asking why they do what they do and learning about that instead of saying, this isn't how we do it in the US. I'm like, well, why are you here? Like, why? So that is very, very frustrating. I do understand what you mean, but had I not sat and talked to them, I wouldn't have learned just how beautiful that place really is and the history of it and the history and seeing the photos of when how they looked in the early 1900s and just that whole history and seeing the pictures. And that was what was beautiful to me, but it definitely broke my heart. Like, why are you guys, some of the people here, if that's your attitude about it? Like, yes, it's a beautiful island, a beautiful place, but there's a story behind it, and you probably don't even know.
Or they don't take the time to care or wonder about it, and you're missing out. I think you really get some, you're missing out on a huge opportunity, when you're not doing those things. So that would be my other big tip, is take it from that approach, be curious and take that time. Everyone that I have, well, I won't say everybody, but most of the people that I have met and taken that approach with, has been really receptive, and they're just appreciative. The fact that you take that time that you want to know about it, they're willing to, do more, go further, and really give you a unique experience. So that's
You're right about
my
that.
biggest travel tip.
You're right about that because we got top-notch service. Like anything that we wanted, they were, I guess you could tell that they weren't used to people actually just being genuinely interested in them and what they have in their island. And they were inviting us back and saying, oh, when you come back, you got to do this, you got to do that. So you're exactly right. It even helps when you're curious to just exceed your experience there as well. So I thought that that was really interesting as well. So we do have we've got to take a quick break for a second, but when we come back, we have I think three questions from our listeners. And we have three questions from our listeners this week, which is a good way to close out the season since this is the season finale. And so I think I have the perfect guest as well to close out the season with. So I am excited to hear the questions and the answers that we have coming. So the first question is from Rachel, and I don't know if she didn't say where she's from, but Rachel says, what are some cool and creative ways that you decide where you're going next? And we've kind of touched on that, but is there anything creative that you guys do?
I think we've tried a couple different approaches, really. Part of it is, we go off our list. We have an idea where we want to go and see what works for us at that time. But we've actually tried, we've used Google Earth. If you've ever used Google Earth, there's a teleport feature and it will focus in on a random location somewhere around the world. And so sometimes when you're just feeling a little stuck or you're curious, run that generator. I don't think I'm brave enough to just do it once and commit, but I'll run it a few times and then see out of, maybe top 10, like what sparks my interest. But that's actually been how one of my girlfriends and I did a girls trip. We just said, okay, let's find somewhere different, somewhere outside the box, and Google Earth teleport.
Wow.
Yeah, try it.
That's a
Let me
good
know where
tip.
you end up.
I need to try that because I'm going to try that. I had never thought about that. Never, ever, ever, ever. I never thought about that, but I'm definitely going to do it. I appreciate that.
It
So for,
sparks some inspiration.
yes, it kind of makes you, that just keeps you inspired to want to continue to travel. One of our approaches that we actually have done the last few years is it's kind of, it's crazy, but we've done two things. We have done the spin the globe thing and point and see where, blindly point and see where it
Yeah.
says. And it's we've done that before, and that's actually how we ended up in when we went to Paris and Barcelona and London. We did that trip. My finger pointed closer to that. It was not exactly on there, but I'm like, okay, those are closer. Another approach that we take is we actually started doing this. We have this bucket list. We have all our places on our bucket list, and we have started doing the put it pull in a hat thing. Like whatever we pull, that's where we're going for our usually our big trip. We do a lot of little trips in between, but like our big anniversary long haul trip, that's kind of what we've been doing for that is just pulling from a hat, basically literally writing them down, folding them up, and blindly pulling and seeing where
That's
we end up.
awesome.
So we definitely have done that as well before. And so it just keeps it fun and keeps you wanting to, continue to see where you're going to go. So those are some good, cool, creative ways. And I love the Google Earth trick. I'm definitely going to use that.
Yeah, it's a technology upgrade to spinning the globe.
It is, exactly. Instead of me having to spin it and blindly point, it's just a tech. I love it. I'm going to do that. Thanks for
Yeah.
the tip.
Yeah. I mean, I did the other last thing too, is if you're planning kind of a spontaneous trip, there are several apps and services out there that help you find cheap tickets. And sometimes it's about where you get to go. So I know you said you get to fly standby and you just play it by ear. So I'd say very similar, right? If you haven't planned out a big trip, but you have a long weekend, you want to go somewhere, do a quick search. You can find some really affordable airfare and go wherever it tells you to go, go.
Right. And you know the feature on Skyscanner where you can actually go to you when you search from your airport and you do everywhere and then you do cheapest month
Yep.
and you can see where they say and where you could go for, the prices that you can go to. So that's a good cool way. We do that for like our long weekend kind of trips too.
Yeah.
Because you get those sometimes you get those holiday weekends where it falls like maybe if you're lucky, like this year we had planned it out. We were going to do a long weekend because the 4th of July falls on a Friday and we were going to be able to just take off one day on Thursday and go somewhere Wednesday evening and stay through Sunday. So
Oh, nice.
it was going to work out perfect, but that's kind of one of those things that I do sometimes too. You could just go in Skyscanner, search everywhere, cheapest month, and they'll just show you where you can go for the cheap prices that you
Yeah,
can
you'd
go
be
to.
surprised at some of the deals you can get there.
Yeah. So what's a go-to for you then for those spontaneous kind of approaches when you're just kind of like looking for deals?
I've used Skyscanner. I've used Hopper.
Love Hopper.
Right, it gives you just some good places to launch off of. But I typically fly United. And I think we're at the point where we have earned priority. So that goes a long way. It takes a while to get there, but the destination is worth it. And so I think a mix of those two things, it really depends on what we're looking for. So but Hopper and Skyscanner probably be the top two that I use. I think that I found the best deals on that have also worked out for us.
Right, you're exactly
Yeah.
right. Isn't it a great feeling when the airlines upgrade you? Because I finally with Delta got my
Yes.
silver medallion status.
Yes. It takes a while to get there, right? You're like, oh my gosh, is it worth it? But once you do, like the level of service and how quickly we can get things resolved is definitely a huge perk, especially when you're traveling abroad. It's been a huge help for us. And those complimentary upgrades are not, I'm not complaining by any means. You get really spoiled by that. But it makes a huge difference when you're traveling 20 plus hours, like that one long, 16-hour flight. Yes.
Yes, exactly. I know. That's why I'm like, I was so happy when I finally got my Delta silver medallion status. I was like, yes. So yeah, I love that. So the next question we have is from Chauncey, and she says, where do you find your travel inspirations from? Does that inspiration play a big role in your travel plans and inspirations and adventures? I'm sorry. And I think we've kind of answered that throughout the show. So,
Yeah, I would say it really is. It's from a mix of places. I feel like I'm incredibly inspired by stories and experiences from others. So other people who travel,
I also look at, you know, some of my icons. You know, everyone knows Anthony Bourdain. So I feel like it's kind of a cop out to say that, but you know, he's been someone who has advocated for experiencing cultures. And he does it through food, which is absolutely right up my alley. But he, you know, kind of off the beaten path, exploring the lesser known sites of new cities. And you know, I think that has really helped me, give me ideas on how I travel. It's shaped the way that I take my approach to it. So, you know, it really is a mix of other people's experiences. And so anytime someone, you know, asks me, they're like, I'm sorry to bother you, but you know, I noticed you went here. I was kind of curious about it. I take the time. I make the time to, I'm like, sure. You know, it's not about keeping it a secret. It's not some, oh my gosh, secret. I can't tell you about this restaurant I went to because now you'll know about it. Like, girl, don't be selfish, right? Like, you want other people to have that experience, the good, bad, and ugly. Like, I'll tell you all the things I learned that were not so great. But like, I want you to experience it well. You know, I don't want you to take the same trip as me, but like, take what I'm telling you, what, you know, what works for you,
Works for
and
you.
apply it. So I think, you know, being able to share those experiences is huge because that's where I take a lot of my inspiration from.
Yes, you said it. I mean, I couldn't answer that any better myself. Is you're exactly right. Anytime people ask me, I'm like, this is what I did. This is what I, you know, they'll do what works for them anyway, but I'm not gonna keep it a secret. You know, some people do that. They're like, they try to keep it this secret. I don't know why, but yes, I think that like you, I get my travel inspirations from similar in similar ways. And I do love National Geographic and I love all of these different things. And I love to follow travel groups on Facebook and Instagram and just kind of see what other people are doing and get inspiration from that. Look at to people like yourself, like you really inspired me to want to go ahead and really go ahead and make a move on in Antarctica. So it's different things like that. Like that's kind of where I get my travel inspiration from as well. And it does play a big role in your travel plans. Okay. We have one last question. And that is, how do you continue to stay motivated to travel and see the world?
That's a good question. I think the more I explore, the hungrier I get, right? The more you go out there, you get more curious. You want to learn more about others. You want to see more. You want to experience more. And so I feel like that in itself kind of snowballs, right? You get just really hungry to know more about it. So, but I also think, you know, it's a balance of, you know, what makes sense and what works. But, I would say that's probably my biggest motivation. It's just like, well, we'll, you know, look into things. I'll do some research. We'll learn more about it. And, you know, there are certain things that just stick out to you. Sometimes it could be as simple as flipping through a magazine and seeing a photo that really strikes you. And before you know it, you're learning about where this place is, the history of it, and how you can get there. So, putting yourself out there. And I think that's just really, that's probably my approach to it. I don't know. What do you do?
Literally the same thing.
I was like, I
Like
don't
I
know.
stay motivated because like the once you get bit by the travel bug, as I like to say, the wanderlust is real. Like you really, it's addicting. Once you start, I've never seen anybody that actually starts that says, oh, I'm just never gonna travel like that again. I'm just gonna stop. Like you are going to get like the hungrier and hungrier you get is the best way to describe it. So it's not hard to stay motivated to me because I surround myself with wanting to learn more about traveling and the world, and it's around me. So I constantly see it. It makes me want to go more and more and more. And then when I do get there, I'm often ready to just, I can't wait for my next adventure. I can't wait for where I'm going to go next. I can't wait to explore and see this and see that. And I think that that has been big and has played a big role in keeping me motivated because it's addicting. Like for me, it's addicting. And most people I know that travel the world a lot, I've never seen anybody that just never just said, I'm just not going to keep doing it.
Yeah, you're
Once
like,
you
I'm good.
really do it, yeah, you're like, this is now a part of my life. But once you start doing it, it becomes a part of your life. There's no turning back. And so it's not really hard to stay motivated. It really actually is quite a different approach for me. It motivates everything else I do in my life. Everything else in my life is now
catered or tailored around, well, am I going to be able to travel? If I take this promotion, what's my schedule going to look like? Am I going to have a hard time taking off? Because if not, nope, I can't do it. Like if there's, it's just everything else now is sort of prioritized with, am I going to have this ability to travel? And by next year, I hope to finally be in full-time entrepreneurship route. At this point, I'm hoping that everything works out as planned, because by then I really won't have to worry about vacation time and this and that. But one of the reasons why I've stayed at my company as long as I have, because I have 4 weeks of vacation time now. And I'm like, I don't want to let that go. So if I go to this company, you know, I may lose that, and I don't want to lose that. And so everything else that I do now and every decision that I sort of make is sort of centered around, am I going to be able to travel? Is that still going to be a possibility for me? Because if not, I'm going to have to say no.
Right. I think it goes back to earlier. It's the prioritization. If it's important to you, you make things work, or you make other decisions around it. And you know, everyone's motivated by something different. So I can absolutely say all my friends who are, you know, travel bugs too, very similarly, their lifestyle has changed to fit their travel needs. Right. And, you know, I get it. It's difficult when you start having kids and families and things like that. But I also know families who have young children who can still make it happen, and they build their lifestyle around this travel, you know, influence. Their motto is, I want my kids to learn firsthand. I want them to experience it, you know, not just read about it. And so that to me is inspiring. That Antarctica trip we were on, because it was during Christmas break, our captain was telling us Christmas and New Year's, right, because kids are off of school and things like that, they tend to get more families. We had 20 passengers under the age of 18 on our ship.
Wow.
And our youngest was a 7-year-old from California, and she was the sweetest girl. She was our mascot of the trip. Everyone loved her, but she was amazing. And I was like, there's a 7-year-old on this trip to Antarctica. I just couldn't wrap my head around it. But watching the trip for myself was one thing, and I thought I was living my best life until you look at her face and you watch, you know, this experience through her. Oh my goodness, like just talking to her and, you know, hearing what she was excited about and how she was looking at things, like that was a whole nother level for me. So, you know, I'm inspired. Obviously, we're young, we're married, we're starting our families soon. And so for me, I think about, you know, how do I want to raise my children to, you know, in a way that travel is still important. Just because I have kids, it doesn't mean that I stop doing what we do, right? It's become such a big part of our lifestyle that, you know, we've talked about, like, you know, how does that shift for us? You know, how do we adapt around this? But yeah, I think it's self-sustaining. That motivation factor is just wanting to do more, wanting to see more.
Right. And, you know, I love how you said, listen, you and I both, we've been married for a while, and there's probably this pressure from people like,
yeah, when are you going to have kids?
Yeah. Right.
I was like, I got dogs.
I know. Exactly. We have a dog and he wants another one. And it's like, we got dogs, like we okay right now. We really not, it's not really, you know, top of mind. But even when we do, we want it to be a priority even still after. And when we have kids, we want them to be able to, we want them to prefer to be like, you know, where are we going next, y'all? Like, where's the next trip? As opposed to like how many Christmas gifts that we can buy them. I want them to be like, where are we going for Christmas? Because that is going to be worth the experience. And I've actually gotten a little flack from someone before when I say like, actually, I'm going to, instead of giving my child this birthday party for, you know, ever, I want to be able to take them to these places. And they were like, kids don't care about that. Kids would rather you give them gifts and toys. And I'm like, but he grabbed his son, I think, and he asked his son, like, what would you prefer? And he was like, I would want this toy. And I'm like, but he hasn't really experienced it yet.
Right. He doesn't know anything different.
If you start them off young enough and you've made it a priority as a family, I guarantee you his answer would be different.
Yeah.
So I think
that's, imagine a generation of global citizens, like how powerful that would be to start them off that young with an appreciation for other cultures. I think that is an incredibly powerful thing.
Exactly. Especially, like you said, given the global climate right now and just everything that's going on, I think it's going to be critical. It's crucial. I think it's necessary and it's needed. It's definitely needed. So I agree with you on that 100%. So it has been such a pleasure speaking to you today. And I just think that this was the perfect way to end the season. I think that it couldn't have been more perfect, like this conversation, everything. I have really enjoyed it.
Oh, thank you for having me. I am so honored that you reached out and even thought about me. So happy to be here.
Glad that you were here. One, before you go, if you could let the listeners help in what way they can support you or how can they support you?
Well, if you want to see where I go and see what I do, I'm not really consistent with it, but I am online on Instagram. My handle LI_SA. It's really my personal stories of travel and things that I'm doing. So I don't know how exciting that is, but if you want to see where I've been, you can check it out there. I thought about doing a travel blog, and then I realized I'd rather just travel and not have to do all the work behind the scenes. So no blogs, nothing like that. But if you reach out to Fatima, I'm sure she can connect you with me if you're really curious about somewhere that I've been. But other than that, thank you again for having me. It's been such a pleasure.
It has been amazing. And I'm just so proud of you and glad that we crossed paths 11 years ago at Disney World. And so we will always have that connection regardless of, where life takes us. So I will
Absolutely.
always be in touch. Thank you.
Was good to talk to you. I think we need a reunion.
We do. We do. We have to have one. We need to have one. 09 CP Emporium crew, the
Yes.
whole crew. We
We're
need to
making
do
it
it.
happen right here. It's gonna
Yes.
happen.
We need to make it happen. I love it. Well, all right, Lindsay, thank you again.
Thank you. I'll talk to you soon.
Talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye.
Wasn't she amazing? Like, I freaking love her. And so, as always, I'm gonna close it out, but this time I'm gonna close it out until 2021 because that was the season finale, and I have already said it before and I'll say it again. Thank y'all. I'm gonna miss y'all. I hope that y'all miss me too. But if you follow me on Instagram at the Pretty Wanderer channel _, I will continue to do some things now in the interim, in the mid-season, to keep you guys in the know, especially as I find out more and more information about countries opening and countries closing, the whole nine. I'm gonna keep y'all in the know. Plus, if you're nice, I have a couple of bonus episodes dropping in the interim as well. And I promise you, those episodes are going to be so dope. So you're not going to want to miss those because I feel like it's going to be good information that you're going to need. So it's not over. It's not goodbye forever, but it's see y'all later. And keep up with me and keep in touch with me on Instagram. I am going to peace out.